Here's a story. Hi, welcome to Decom Divas with Jana, and I have a very wonderful guest with me today on my couch. Hello, Justine. Welcome.
Hi. I'm so stoked to finally be a Decom Diva.
Yes!
It is such an honor.
Thanks for having me.
Welcome. Welcome to the club. I'm so excited. I was thinking about this earlier today. I feel like the day I met you, I think I told you, I felt very like kinship with you right away because you're very fun, and we were just talking about we have a lot of similarities, but I told you about it right away, and then I think I asked you that night, would you ever want to be on it?
Oh yeah,
the day I met you, and you were like, yeah, totally. So that was kind of crazy. Yeah,
absolutely. No, I like Disney. I was definitely a Disney kid. Yes. of the trifecta of my childhood, the trifecta, Disney,
yes, Disney,
Nickelodeon,
Cartoon Network. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Absolutely, you know.
Yeah.
I think I gravitated towards Disney the most.
Okay,
so
cool. Yeah.
I'm really stoked to dive in and everything.
Yes. Oh my god. So we gotta start off. How do we meet?
Yes. Okay. So we met because we were both part of the cast, the most recent cast of Evil Dead the Musical.
Yes. If you listeners, I've talked about this show so many fucking times, but it's for a reason. This show brings forth very quality friendships, so mm-hmm. I'm very grateful for it. Yes. Yes.
Yes. Absolutely. And like we were literally talking on the rooftop of the theater because it was a cast bonding event.
Yeah.
And we ended up connecting with Jana, and we literally bonded over freaking Disney.
yeah. I talk to you.
Yeah,
it's a big part of my personality, especially because I have a podcast that's become even bigger. So,
yes.
But I don't know. It bonds people, especially people who are like born around the same time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's because you were born in 96.
Yes, I was. Yes.
Are you happy with being born then, or are you like, I don't know, whatever?
I think, you know, I haven't really given much thought to that question.
Yeah.
I think I'm very content with when I was born.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's wild, though, because some people will try to fight me on whether I'm a Gen
I
Z
was
or
about
millennial.
To,
yeah!
What do you think you are?
Honestly, okay.
I'm really intrigued by the answer to this. Yeah.
No worries. I think I really identify more with the millennials than I do with the Gen Z folks.
Me too.
Sometimes, and I'm gonna sound like a boomer low-key when I say this, but sometimes I hear Gen Z talk and I'm like, what are you saying?
Yeah,
I don't know what you're saying.
Too. Yeah. I am a millennial. I refuse to be, I mean, 94, I feel like that's pretty definite.
That's like solid millennial.
Yeah, like a young millennial, whatever. But yeah, no, I have a hard time, like, you know, sometimes understanding the Gen Zers,
too.
And I'm around a lot of young people. Some of my close friends are Gen Zers, but I really don't understand. And I feel like I constantly sound out of touch. You work with a lot of young people.
I do, yeah.
Is that hard? Do you ever feel like, ooh, I feel like I'm 70?
There are certain jokes that, like, everybody will know.
Yeah.
And, or they'll quote something from TikTok.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what is that? I don't,
you just sit there and like smile and nod, like
yeah.
You know what they're talking about.
Yeah, which is, and it's also kind of ironic too, because mm-hmm. I've been told by like multiple times that I don't look my age. I always say like, hey, if I'm 26 and I can still pass for 20, that means I can play a high schooler on Disney Channel.
Hell yeah. Oh yeah, you are totally still able to play high school.
Yes.
I feel like I don't, I've aged out at this point, and I kind of hope I have. I'm like almost 29, but I don't know. I mean, people, like, really love to cast people as really, really young, so I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you were a big Disney Channel watcher growing up. What were your shows? What was, like, your golden age of Disney Channel?
My
what
God.
Is stuff that you're like, yeah, it was breezed on that?
Oh, my gosh. That's a Raven.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a Raven
yes.
was definitely one of my favorite shows.
Yeah.
I was also, oh, my gosh, this is so funny. I was literally talking about this with someone the other day, but I was in the era of, like, when Movie Surfers transitioned to Mike's Super Short Show.
Oh my god, what I know exactly. I have not talked about, yes, I know exactly what you're
yes,
talking about.
Yes, absolutely.
I didn't realize that was like the transition, wow. Yeah,
yeah. I feel like for the folks who didn't know about like the Movie Surfers or Mike's Super Short Show, basically, the Movie Surfers were like kids who would go on sets of movies at Disney.
Yeah, like teens, like 16-year-old-ish.
Yeah.
They wore a lot of bracelets. I don't know if you know that. It was that time.
Yes, it was the bracelet time.
Yeah.
But yeah, they would like go on the sets of these movies, interview actors and directors to get the behind the scene process.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
when it came to like the DCOMs or the straight to DVD stuff,
mm-hmm.
there was Mike's Super Short Show, which followed this like main character kid named Mike and his mm-hmm. his like and his younger sister, who was played by Allison Stoner.
I was gonna ask, you know, because she's a dancer.
Yeah. She is a dancer. Yeah. She was in the Missy Elliott video, and she was in Camp Rock.
And she was in Cheaper by the Dozen with Hilary Duff.
That's yes. right. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Yes. Oh, and she was Max on The Sweet Life of Zack and Cody.
Oh yeah, and there was a real, yeah, no, she's big in the Disney.
Oh, yes. absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, she was also like one of the side characters on Mike's Super Short Show. Yeah. So
Sally, I think.
Was I think her name was. Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. You're unlocking like so much in my
This is what I do. Yes.
But yeah, that was my era of Disney yeah. Channel. Mm-hmm. So that era, like Hannah Montana. Mm-hmm. I think I caught the tail end of like the Lizzie McGuire era, but I
yeah,
was all about.
You're a little young for it. Yeah.
But I was all about the Lizzie McGuire movie.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. I'm so glad that so many people like, because it's, I feel like it's really iconic, especially like millennial wise.
Oh, 100%.
Like, it's just like, no, I don't know. I like it. I'm not a good judge because I'll like anything that Hilary Duff touches, but yeah. Wait, what did you think of Hilary Duff? Like, this is such a Jana question. Growing up, do you have much of an opinion of her?
Okay. So.
Be as honest as you want.
I will.
Yes.
And I hope that my welcome is still
valid. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, okay, yeah. when I say baby, I meant, like, middle school.
Yeah.
I wanted to be different so mm-hmm. badly.
No, I've been there. Yeah.
To the point where if something was popular,
yeah.
I would make it a whole part of my personality to dislike it.
Yes, yeah.
So when Hilary Duff's album, like, Come Clean came out, mm-hmm. like, Wake Up on a Saturday Night, like, that era, the Lizzie McGuire movie,
yeah.
I would just be like, I don't like Hilary Duff. I hate Hilary Duff. To the point where at the slumber party, whenever they would play her album, I would leave yeah. the room.
Oh, my God.
Because I was so extra about it.
Yeah.
And I think, like, as I've gotten older and I've, like, really, really gravitate towards nostalgic content, yeah. mm-hmm. I've watched the Lizzie McGuire movie, again, as an yeah. adult, and it makes me so happy.
Yeah.
I've watched and, like, laughed at Raise Your Voice. Like,
I can't believe you're bringing up Raise Your Voice. Oh, my God. Yeah. Okay, then. Okay, I hate to say this, Hilary Duff. That's not your voice.
It's not. It's not.
I hope listeners know what we're talking about.
No, absolutely. I'm not a singer. Yeah.
Oh, but that movie did start off so sad. Oh, my God.
It was so sad, and there was a lot of, like, Christian overtones throughout
yeah. mm-hmm.
that I didn't realize.
I didn't either, because I was so in that world.
Exactly.
Like, no. Yeah, I just thought that was standard. Yeah.
No, period. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
but yeah, the like, what did I think of Hilary Duff? I think that's so that was the thing. I yeah. think my older self, like, definitely realized that, you know, you could still I didn't reject mm-hmm. her being popular as much as I did when I was little. And yeah. definitely a lot of the content and, like, iconic moments of, like, Lizzie McGuire mm-hmm. and, like, the other content that she was a part of, like, really, really did play a big role in my childhood.
Yeah.
For those listening at home, before we started recording, I was, like, as Jana was getting set up with her recording setup, I was, like, wow, I love how Hilary Duff is your lock screen and your laptop background.
Oh, yes, yeah. Uh-huh. I don't know. I just want something happy to look at, and she always makes me happy. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe mm-hmm. it's weird. Do you have anyone that you were, like, fucking obsessed with, like, growing up?
Oh my God, the Jonas Brothers.
Oh, I didn't know you were a Jonas Brothers person.
Jana. Jana. I.
Oh my God.
Loved the Jonas
really?
Brothers. I presently love the Jonas Brothers.
Yeah, great.
I was the type of person who would. Oh God, I'm just really exposing myself. I would cut out pictures of them in, like, Tiger Beat magazine yeah. or mm-hmm.
J14 yeah.
and, like, put them in my backpack. Oh, I was one of those so people cute. Who would decorate, like, my binder. I would buy binders with the little the little compartment where you can put like
pictures in. Yeah,
yeah, where you can put mm-hmm. pictures.
Yes.
Full of the Jonas Brothers. Oh, I was a yeah. Nick girl.
I was about to ask. Okay, that makes
what about
sense,
you?
Yeah. So I was kind of like you and Hilary Duff. I was such a contrarian about the Jonas Brothers because the more I reflect on it, I was always into like girls, not necessarily like now I love boy bands and all that
yeah.
shit, but like back then I was more into like a Britney Spears, a Christina Aguilera,
yes,
Hilary Duff.
Yes, yes.
Raven when she was a singer, she was yes. great.
I think kind of also in that same vein,
mm-hmm.
I was really into Demi Lovato,
yeah,
like her mm-hmm. first album especially because
that's the one with Don't Forget.
Yes, the one with Don't Forget, La La Land. Ah, mm-hmm. Oh, you know me, I Get know Back, that. Girl.
Oh, I love that song. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, no, because I think I think too, it kind of changed my life because mm-hmm. I was also kind of at that time going mm-hmm. through a little bit of an emo phase. Mm-hmm. So the fact that there was music like this and it was yeah. on Disney Channel and Radio Disney. Yeah. And then when she dyed her hair black, it's I'm like, oh, wow, you're so edgy.
Yeah. So I guess we'll, oh, I did not ask you, where are you from? I know this, but, you know, tell the listeners.
Yeah, so I'm a Southern California girl, yes. born and raised. I am from Orange County, I recently moved to San Diego, like, mm-hmm. about a year ago, and that's yeah. where I'm currently based.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you, I don't know, this, maybe, I'm not from Orange County, I'm not from Southern California, mm-hmm. so I don't know, like, what it's like truly to grow up here. I've lived here for 10 years, but... Mm-hmm. Do you get certain, like, stereotypes about being from OC?
Oh, yeah. Most definitely.
What is that like?
I think some of the... I think some of the things that... When people think of Orange County...
Yeah.
What I've noticed is they yeah. think of places like Laguna Niguel yeah. and, you know, Costa Mesa,
yeah.
San Clemente, which yeah. are very affluent areas, mm-hmm. which are, like, super racist areas also. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
sorry, Dad. You must know that my dad's from San Clemente. He knows this. He knows this, though. So it's fine. Continue.
But yeah, like, so people don't think about the parts of OC, like, mm-hmm. the part of OC where I'm from. Like, yeah, they don't. So I'm from a town called Buena Park, which mm-hmm. is...
No, that's where Knott's Berry Farm is. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I said that the first
time. It is where it is where Knott's Berry Farm yeah. is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's my hometown. Mm-hmm. And kind of, you know, growing up with immigrant parents and being the firstborn... there were always, there was always kind of like a generational or like a communication gap. So mm-hmm. when I talk about things like, I really want to, when sometimes even now when I talk mm-hmm. to my parents about how like I'm a performer for a living, mm-hmm. Or like a huge chunk of my income comes from doing drag mm-hmm. or, performing at a theme park, mm-hmm. there's kind of this gap in knowledge and understanding mm-hmm. and kind of this worry or fear that comes from that of mm-hmm. like, you know, if like this kid, like this kid that that I've raised is like in a really quote unquote unstable type of line of work, like, are they going to be successful?
Yeah.
I'm at this place now where it's like, you know what, if they're going to understand what they're going to understand, mm-hmm. they're not going to understand what they don't understand. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of what the person I've become now has really turned into is learning to be proud of myself yeah. outside of my parents' opinions.
It's so hard. Yeah,
it is,
it's
rough. Yes.
I feel like for me, and luckily I have very supportive parents, but there's always something in me is like, oh, I don't want to disappoint them. That's right. Like the last thing I want to do. Yeah, no, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think too, when I've talked to people about like kind of back to talking about growing up in the OC, mm-hmm. When people, especially who aren't from California or aren't mm-hmm. from this area, mm-hmm. Will know where I grew up. They'll be mm-hmm. like, oh my God, so did you go to Disney every day?
Is that the question you get most?
Yes! Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes! I'm like, oh, so do you go to Disneyland a lot? And then I'm just like, no, I didn't go to Disney every day because Disney's expensive. Yeah. And also, like, growing up as kind of like a dancer in OC, mm-hmm. a lot of young dancers aspire mm-hmm. to perform for Disney. That was definitely a very real and attainable trajectory for like young dancers. It were things that me and my peers like really aspired to be when we were yeah. starting to dance. Yeah. But also I didn't think that my dancing would ever get to a place where I would be employed by a theme park. And now
turns out
I was wrong. And now I dance at a theme park, which is great. Yes. I don't know. Life has a funny way of working out, huh?
It does. Especially when you say directly, I will never do this. And yeah. then you do. Yeah. It's yeah. kind of like the opposite of The Secret or whatever. It's like taking things, saying you won't do it. And then it happens. If you're listening, that's what you should do. So I guess we're kind of getting into the movie.
Yeah, let's do it.
I don't know if I've talked about this that much on the podcast. This is, and I know I say this about a lot of movies, this is genuinely a DCOM I really love. Like, I really liked growing up. It, like, you know, you could imagine I would like something about pop stars, and that's mm-hmm. really girly. And mm-hmm. like, so yeah, no, this is a very fun movie. It's not perfect. We will talk about that, but I was very entertained. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. So this movie came out on January 16th, 2004. Justine, what do you think you were doing that day? If you had to take a wild guess.
2004. Yeah, oh my goodness. So
19 years ago.
Am I doing math now? Okay. Viewers at home, I'm taking out my calculator because yes. I don't trust myself.
Yeah.
I'm being asked to do math on the spot and I'm getting sorry, nervous. I'm sorry. It's okay.
I did not prepare.
It's okay. I was 8 years old.
8 years old.
I was a baby child.
Yeah.
8 years old, what, that's like third grade?
Yeah.
Okay, so if we were in third grade, I was probably, oh my god, what was third grade Justine even doing? Oh my god, at this part of my life,
yeah,
I was so weird. I'm still weird now, but I was still weird. I was probably like, such a weird kid. I yes, probably had my little notebook on the playground taking yeah. notes on like boys' behavior.
Ooh.
And like trying to learn about football by like watching Ooh. Them play.
Interesting. Because
like I was really weird, Jana. Like,
I love it.
I was like, well, why would I do that? You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I was like, those are probably like my priorities, like mm-hmm. at that point. I was really just gung-ho about a lot of things. Mm-hmm. So whatever I did with, like, 1,000% enthusiasm.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was a weird-ass kid. What were you doing in 2004, Jenna?
Okay, I was in fourth grade. I was a troublemaker.
But yeah.
I know people don't believe this, but I was until I got suspended from school, and then I kind of got on the right track.
Mm.
When I was in third grade, like not like high school, I was such a goody-two-shoes then. I was just chilling on the playground, probably. I remember yeah. watching this movie when it came out. Like, I remember that really vivid. Did you watch it when it came out?
I did. Okay, I did cool. watch it when it came out.
Yeah.
And I remember it being so wild because, mm-hmm. you know, when... With movies that are kind of, I don't want to say similar, but mm-hmm. kind of have this sci-fi air to it.
Yeah, like a smidge of sci-fi.
A smidge of sci-fi, mm-hmm. a sprinkle of sci-fi.
Yeah, enough for kids to understand. Yeah.
Right, like mm-hmm. I was a little bit past like the Xenon generation
oh, okay.
and stuff.
Oh,
and
that's too bad.
I know, I mean, yeah. Right, like mm-hmm. I think the Z-quel or like Z3 was yeah. kind of coming mm-hmm. out at around the same time. Yes. So like, mm-hmm. But Pixel Perfect yeah. was like my franchise. Yeah. Was like a part, was something where it's like, okay, cool, this is an original story.
Yeah.
And also, I'll get into this as we dive into the yes. plot too, but anything that Raviv Ullman was in, I was yes. eating up.
Okay, I was gonna say, okay, yes. so Ricky Ullman's actual name is Raviv.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing he had to change it because back then things were shitty and you couldn't have any sort of name that was at all different. But,
right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, Raviv. I will try to be consistent with that. Yes. But yeah, he's a cutie.
Oh, yeah.
Were you crushing on...
Oh, 100%.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He was Phil of the freaking future.
I know.
I was obsessed yeah. with this man.
Yes. Oh, were you a big Phil the Future person?
I was.
I thought that was such a fun show.
It was yeah. such a fun show because, again, that touch of sci-fi.
I know. I liked a touch. I didn't want a ton. I just wanted a little bit yes. that's like... I like a Spy Kids level sci-fi. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah. So I guess we'll get into it.
Yes.
Let's get into Pixel Perfect.
Yay!
So, yeah, this movie starts off with Raviv's character is Roscoe. A lot mm-hmm. of R's. Ricky, Raviv, Roscoe.
Roscoe, yes!
Yes.
Absolutely.
Which, like, is this... Roscoe, is that a real name? Like, have you ever... I don't
this
know.
This is so funny, actually, yeah. because I feel like Disney...
Loves making these fake-ass names.
Yeah, yeah. fake-ass names. Like, yeah. for some reason, like, mm-hmm. no offense if your name is Carter, but, like, in Princess Pretension Program...
I was literally
like,
thinking that.
I've never met a Carter in my life.
One of my
never...
best friends is named Carter. Hi, if you're listening. But, like, you're the only one I've ever met. No, I was... When you said that, I was literally thinking that. Mm-hmm. They love to name girls boy names. Mm-hmm. Like, which, like, I think... And then they love to use that as a, like, she's not like the other girl type of shtick.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Disney loves messing with a name.
Absolutely.
Or like a stupid name that comes from like no one's named Gordo. His name was David Gordon. They love yes. doing that kind of shit.
Yes. Or even like Mitchie. Like, I've never met a Mitchie.
I haven't, and I still haven't. Yeah.
I've never met a Mitchie yeah. in my life, yes.
It's she gotta be different. Yeah.
Yeah, she has to be different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he's an inventor. He makes he made a holographic cat. So it shows starts off showing that I mean, he's like a hot nerd. What do you think of Roscoe?
We can't
separate him from Raviv, but
yes.
still, yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, yeah, I think like one.
Sorry,
thing...
I have to say hot. He was probably a minor, so I don't know.
Okay,
we're allowed to say he was cute. He was cute. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
And when we were of that age.
Yeah. No, I was eight. I'm allowed to feel
yes,
that way.
Yes, yeah. we were definitely like, oh my god, Raviv. Yeah. But yeah, I think. Definitely, like, in the opening of the movie, mm-hmm. they talk a lot of, it really shows that he's smart.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I think baby me was especially, like, attracted to that. Because
do you like nerdy
like,
men?
I love
Me too. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think there, so the, like in the opening scene, yeah. he's like, he starts tinkering around with mm-hmm. his father's like equipment because his father yes. also like works in tech. What really surprised me about like that scene too is like, so basically he walks in and like Roscoe apparently like isn't allowed to be like tinkering around with mm-hmm. the holographic yeah. stuff or the AI. And he makes like this really amazing, you know, color changing hologram of a cat
yeah.
as a high schooler. And yeah. the dad was like, he comes in and he's like, oh, well, I like, this is high tech technology. Like you shouldn't be using it to make cats and stuff. And I'm like, my guy, your 14-year-old boy yeah. just made like a really high tech hologram.
Yeah.
And that's bad question mark. But yeah. no, but yeah. So, but again, that's a detail I only caught as an adult. But,
yeah. As like this dad's like, yeah.
Yeah.
He's like single dad.
Yeah.
Can tell. They talk about the mom a little bit. I think he's like a pain in the ass to be in a relationship with. This is what I'm gleaning from the little we have.
Yes.
He's like very narrow-minded. Mm-hmm. Is that what you were getting from him?
Yeah. I thought it was kind of like narrow-minded. Mm-hmm. Like unreasonably.
Yeah.
Unreasonably strict.
Yeah.
And we also kind of get this glimpse as like, you know, not only as at Roscoe's kind of like aptitude for technology, mm-hmm. but also kind of a glimpse into his like relationship with his bestie,
Sam.
With Sam. Yeah.
Well, so the main mm-hmm. character really is Sam. She is a 14-year-old, probably mm-hmm. something like that. I think they're freshman in high school girl, and she's in a band.
Mm-hmm.
What are the other girls' names in the band? One of them, okay, this is a long walk, but this is a Disney Channel podcast. I'm going to talk about this. So
yes.
Sam, the girl who plays her, is married to AJ Troth, who plays Twitty from Even
Wait,
Steven.
You're joking. Are you
I'm
serious?
I'm not joking. That's for real. Yeah.
Yes.
And the girl, oh my God. Okay. One of the girls in the band played Twitty's girlfriend on an episode of Even Stevens.
So really?
Yeah. So it's a small world.
Dang, that's amazing.
Yeah. But so what do you think of their band called the Zeta Bytes?
The Zeta Bytes, yes. Yes, the Zeta Bytes were really fun.
Yes.
I think the
Rachel and Cindy.
Rachel
that's
and Cindy.
What their names are. Rachel's the drummer, Cindy's the drummer, Rachel's the guitarist.
Yes.
Continue. Yes.
Zeta Bytes are really fun. Mm-hmm. Music is very definitely like girl group stuff
yeah.
that's coming. Like, do you remember Everlife?
Yes. Yes, they're very Everlife.
It's very yeah. Everlife. Yeah. Yes, it's very Everlife.
Yeah.
Also, I have to give it an honorable mention because this song is a bop, but it's just like, don't even try.
I love that. I was hoping you would bring that
yes.
up. They audition to, you know, perform at a teen club. These teen clubs that exist not in real life, but only in movies.
I was literally looking up yeah. teen clubs as a kid
yeah.
because I wanted to go
I
to
wanted
one.
I wanted to go one, too.
Yes.
And, like, 12-year-olds getting in. We didn't have that. But, no, okay, so they're auditioning, and the guy, like, the Zeta Bytes are, mm-hmm. and the guy's like, you can't dance. You're not a mover. We need a mover. Doesn't matter if you're talented. And then this other girl group that's, like, not the kind that plays instruments, but kind of like, trying to think of an equivalent. Play. You know
oh
what I mean?
Oh my God, play. No
yes.
secret.
Yes. Yes, girl. No secrets. Play that type of thing where they're like girls in crop tops who are good at dancing with
yeah.
their arms
yeah.
and feet in cargo pants. Like that kind of thing. Like, so yeah, there's this other group that gets booked because they're good dancers.
Yes.
And yeah. Don't even try it. Which that song, like, there's a part where she says, you better keep away with your hands. I was not, like, that is more nuanced than, I mean, they're not directly saying this guy's trying to, like, be too handsy, but that's what the song's about.
Yeah. I also wrote in my notes that the old dude at the club is really creepy.
Yeah, he is. The old British dude. Yeah.
When the Zeta Bytes first start performing,
yeah.
and then he cuts them off, and then he says, you know, we are looking for some movers, so give me some Britney, give me some Jagger. And I'm like, ew.
I know.
This is for a teen club?
This 50-something-year-old man's telling a 14-year-old, show me some moves.
Sir.
Like, yeah, and he's by himself. It's just him.
Yeah.
And he wants to own a teen club. Okay, yeah. I don't know. I'm suspicious of this guy.
Don't yeah. even try it.
Yeah, they're saying it to him. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. He basically says, you need to get a lead singer who can dance. And so what happens from there?
Mm-hmm. So essentially, Roscoe takes it upon himself
yes.
to recruit, quote-unquote recruit somebody to go perform at the Zetabytes auditions.
Yeah.
Because they hold an open call audition.
Which this had very, like, you know the auditions in High School Musical? It's very like that, especially, you know the part? Okay, this is, there's a part with, like, the kind of hippie girl that's like,
it's hard to believe.
What does she say? What? My life is...
My life is a bad school lunch.
Yeah, very, yes. Very High School Musical auditions. Continue, yes.
No, it's... And... So iconic.
Yes.
Because that girl was so angry.
I love her, yes.
Yeah, and then there was this other hippie girl who was like, you perform so well at my sister's birthday party. I would do anything to be your lead singer.
Oh,
and like
my
stuff
God,
like that.
Yes.
But so they do the Zetabytes. The Zetabytes have an open audition.
Mm-hmm.
And then this girl comes in, yes, named Loretta Modern.
Yes.
With Ross, and she comes in with Roscoe for some reason.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. She auditions with their song, Nothing's Wrong With Me.
She's like, do you know Nothing's Wrong With Me?
Yes.
And they're not saying, like, yep, no shit. Like,
that's
yeah,
our song.
Yeah.
So they perform it, mm-hmm, and then she is contortionisting all over the floor,
yes,
and, like, doing like, cartwheels in the attic.
Yeah.
And then the band is like, that was amazing.
Yeah.
Samantha trips and falls into Loretta and yeah, realizes that she's just a hologram.
She, like, goes through her leg.
Yeah,
she's
goes
like, what the
through
fuck?
Her leg.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, Roscoe's like, oh, well, I designed this
He's
person.
Like, surprise! Yeah.
Yeah, I designed this person to be your new lead singer.
Yeah.
It's Loretta.
So should we get into, like, how he, like, created her?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
So basically, Samantha does some digging into mm-hmm Roscoe's belongings, and she finds a bunch of, like, magazine clippings,
mm-hmm,
with sticky notes on them, you
yeah,
know,
saying, that say, like, eyes, yeah.
Yeah, that mm-hmm say, like, eyes, 80% from this picture,
yeah,
hair, this and this and this. And Samantha finds pictures of herself
yeah
there, mm-hmm, too. And this scene really didn't sit well with me because
yeah,
on the pictures of Sam, she finds that he'll write something about Sam's features and then mm-hmm cross it out.
Which, that part, seeing that sticky note, that's so fucked up. Oh my God.
That's
yeah,
so
imagine
messed up.
Finding a picture of you with a sticky note that said no on, like, eyes or nose or whatever.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, like, this isn't a detail that, I definitely didn't pick up on this detail
yeah,
when I was
yeah
a kid when I was mm-hmm first watching it, but, like, reading it now or watching it now,
mm-hmm,
all the magazine clippings are all white women.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, they're all white women, and like the movie's literally called Pixel Perfect.
Yeah.
And throughout the movie, Loretta makes it a point to say things like, oh, well, I am perfect. You know,
mm-hmm,
like, I'm the epitome of perfection. Like, her whole internal struggle is, like, if I'm so perfect, why am I so unhappy?
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm,
but if she's the standard for perfection, it really does say a lot
yeah,
to have
absolutely
all that perfection be pulled from, like, conventionally attractive, skinny, white women.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. It's really, it's very sad. I don't know how much of a statement the movie is trying to make about it. They're definitely not trying to comment on race. This is, like, the early
right
2000s. Like,
of course.
They don't even know what we're talking about. But, like,
mm-hmm,
yeah, it was, it's really crazy, like, the dynamics of this and, like, how, like, that kind of stuff affects, like, everybody. But, like,
mm-hmm,
being a young girl growing up in that time, like, you're really told, like, this is what pretty is. And if you aren't that, then you're not pretty. And, like, being pretty is, like, put on a pedestal. And
right.
Yeah, but there's a line, she's talking to Roscoe, kind of, Sam was confronting him on it, and then, like, she said, I found pictures, like, what part of me was good enough to keep? What
yeah
was it, like, her ears or
yes
something?
Yes, he
yeah
said, I kept your ears.
Like, so, like, deadpan like that, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, oh, gosh, it blows my mind how, like, especially, again, this did not register to me as a child,
mm-hmm,
but we're supposed to be rooting for Roscoe.
Yeah, we're supposed to think he's a good guy.
We're supposed
yeah
to think he's, like, an amazing dude. Like,
mm-hmm,
we're supposed to root for him and Sam getting together,
mm-hmm,
you know, because of they have history. And,
yeah,
like, you know, we want that and we desire that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so icky just to think. And also, if you think about it, not trying to get too deep and stuff.
You can get as deep as you want, yeah.
It's also super objectifying, too.
Yeah.
He's
mm-hmm
literally pulling bits and pieces of, like, different women that he finds desirable. And,
yeah,
like, Sam makes a point
yeah
of it. You know, like, why did you create Loretta?
Mm-hmm.
And then he says something along the lines of, I created it for the Zetabytes.
Mm-hmm.
And then she points out, like, oh, but you created somebody that's desirable for you. The type of woman that is desirable for Roscoe
mm-hmm
is not a real woman.
Yeah, it's really, it's weird because, like, so in the movie, there is, like, a budding romance between him and Sam before
uh-huh
Loretta even shows up. But then
uh-huh
it kind of shows that he's kind of falling in love with this fake person, which is really gross.
Mm-hmm.
There's a part where, like, Sam, they're getting in a, like, an argument. I think it's because, like, she found out he used her ears and that's it. And she's like, I'm sorry, I can't be agreeable 24/7 like Loretta. And then he says, so am I. I know.
Misogyny!
Yeah.
That whole exchange that you brought up as well is, like, is Loretta palatable or is Loretta desirable to him because, like, he wouldn't exist with, like, she wouldn't exist without him.
Ooh,
or, like,
yeah,
like, she doesn't exist independently outside of, like, the machines that control her. And we see that throughout the movie.
Yeah.
You know, like, she physically can't.
She can't go outside.
Outside.
She can't because then she's destroyed. So he has to keep her in, like, a, I don't know,
canteen. It looks like basically a thermos.
Yeah, it's like
an AI thermos.
Yeah, AI thermos. Oh my god, that's what we can call the movie.
Yeah.
And like he basically, it's almost like you're spraying her and then she like comes to life, like kind of like releasing a Pokemon from a Pokeball kind of. Yeah.
She only comes out when he wants her to.
Yeah.
You know, like, so he's in control of, like, and as she like formulates opinions and stuff, there's always that ability for him to just kind of like turn her off.
Okay, I gotta talk about this scene, because I was like, oh! There's a scene where, it's, like, Roscoe and, like, Loretta are, like, in his house, and she's like, what is, like, touching, like, and then she closes her eyes, and then he's looking at her, and he's, like, trying to describe it. That's, like, such a horny scene. God. Like, did you think that?
He compares it to things that he thinks Loretta will understand. It's like, yeah, it's like something about, yeah, you know, it's like when you're listening to a song and you hear the crescendo at the perfect time, like, and the quavers just line up and blah blah blah. And I'm like, no 14-year-old boy talks like that.
Oh, no. This is when you really see, like, oh, he's falling.
He's falling for her.
And then she kind of is for him too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so basically the band, they pretty much become famous in their little small town that we don't know what it is or where it is. And there's like this character that is like, he's like a rapper turned producer who produces teen bands. What was that all about? Yeah.
Yeah, so like there's a representative from Harsh Tone Records.
Yes, yeah.
And he basically like comes to see the girls at the Ear Splitter, which is like the club that they perform at.
Oh my god, you got all the names. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm still trying to figure out what this like guy's name is. Yes.
I think it's like D-Fibs or something like that.
Yeah, I think it's D-Fibs.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he sees it. He sees the crowd go crazy over Loretta. He's actually there the night that they discover, like the whole audience discovers that she's not real, that she's a hologram.
So yeah, it's like pretty heartbreaking because it's like they're the ones who made the band and they're being upstaged by this girl that they brought in. And so it's
who isn't
pretty
real.
Yeah. So it's fucked up. And like she's singing all the songs that I think Sam writes all the songs.
Sam writes all the songs.
Which we will talk about our favorite songs later.
Yes.
But so in the end, it kind of comes to a head. Basically they think the recording contract guy like gives up the rights to Loretta, so they're going to make her this big star. And okay, I brought this up because I love the thing that Roscoe, okay, he comes in the room thinking that Loretta's gone and he says to the record guy, "You're a lying, cheating, self-serving, underhanded, arrogant ball of slime."
Who do you know a 14-year-old that talks like that?
I know. Oh my god. And it's one of those things where like, okay, you can't curse, so this is really where they
burn. At some point Loretta essentially her thermos is like taken or like left alone or something.
Yeah.
And she's activated by the producer that discovered the Zeta Bytes and signed them to Harsh Tone Records. And she's like, "Where's Roscoe? Like, where is everybody?" And he has a one-on-one conversation with her, basically saying, like, you know, the people at the record label want to sell you and like want to own you. If you stay in this thermos, you're gonna belong to them. Or you can essentially, and he pulls out a Palm Pilot, and I'm like, oh my god, it's 2004.
Oh my god,
He pulls out a Palm Pilot, and then he's like, or you can get into my Palm Pilot, and it has internet access, so you can be as free as you want. And we find out, like, Loretta decides to, like, go back onto the net, but then the Zeta Bytes are left without a lead singer.
Yeah, oh my god, this scene was, okay, and they had a performance, they had to do something, so they zoom in on them performing, and it's Sam's mom is playing the guitar. It's so cute. And there's somebody in a blonde wig dancing.
Oh my gosh, is it Loretta?
Is it, okay, this is, it's just crazy because it's like as if you would think that she, like, her face is different. Like, hello, yeah.
Yeah, the end to this movie was definitely like a clusterfuck, to say the least.
Yes.
There was a lot. Okay, so essentially, what happens is like, Sam as Loretta mm-hmm. is like trying to be Loretta.
Yes.
And in trying to, like, she's wearing the outfit. Mm-hmm. She has the blonde wig, like you said. Mm-hmm. She's dancing around. Mm-hmm. She stumbles a little bit, but she like recovers.
Yeah.
Until she attempts a cartwheel.
And oh, the world's worst cartwheel. Oh my God, it's one of those where your legs are like half, like totally bent. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she ends up having an accident.
Yes. Mm-hmm. She falls off stage.
She falls off stage and she ends up in the hospital.
Yeah. Sorry, and I shouldn't be laughing at someone in the hospital. It's just, like, so ridiculous.
It's so ridiculous. Yeah, it's yeah. so, yeah, so, like, in the hospital, somehow Loretta ends up there.
Yeah.
So, right?
She gets, like, off the net. She's back in there.
And Roscoe is at her bedside, too. Yeah. And then
he finally starts caring about
her. Starts caring about her.
Yeah.
And then Loretta's like, well, why don't you just, like, restart her? Or why don't you just reboot her? And then he's like, people don't work like that, Loretta. Like, she, like, needs to heal.
Yeah.
So, she... Again... Please correct me if I'm, like, off, but she essentially enters the EKG. Like, she enters...
Yeah, the little IV
The
machine,
IV thingy.
The thing that goes beep, 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 beep. She jumps in.
That one. Yeah. She jumps in there and makes her way into Sam's consciousness.
Which is all dark and, like, she's, like, her hair is, like, grudge-like and it's, like, all the trees are dying.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then, like, basically she's like, well, what's wrong, Sam? And then there's, like, a broken guitar that she can't play. Yeah. And then with Loretta's help,
She
touches the guitar and she can sing again and everything is beautiful.
Yeah.
And then,
oh my God. Okay, so she goes into Sam's body and then she gets up like she's possessed and she goes outside and spins around in the rain in her little like paper dress hospital outfit thing.
Yeah.
And so she finally gets to feel the rain.
Yes.
And there's a part where like you can see like, how do you describe this? It's like, her face, and then, yeah.
Yeah, it would, like, the Loretta's consciousness, like, so it would be, like, Sam's body, but you see flashes of, like, Loretta in that same hospital gown, like, dancing in the rain to kind of show that Loretta's driving, even though, like, it's Sam's body.
Yeah.
I'm gonna rewind a little bit, because, like, when Loretta, like, wakes up and she's essentially driving Sam's body, she turns to Raviv Ullman and is like, hi, Roscoe. And he's like, Loretta?
Oh, yeah, it's her voice. It's Loretta's voice out of Sam's body.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then her parents are like, well, if Loretta's here, where's Sam?
Yeah.
And then she says, like, only one of us can exist at a time, and it's my turn. And I'm like, what the fuck? Who gave you the right? What
this is a horror movie.
It's a horror movie now. She's possessed.
So Loretta is done completely. She's gone.
Or, yeah, she's... Is she... Okay.
Kind of gone?
Is she gone? Or, okay, well, there's the ending leaves it open-ended.
Yes, it is.
Because, like, essentially the Zetabytes continue as, like, a three-piece group.
Yeah, like they originally were.
Like they originally were. They're still playing at the Ear Splitter.
Yes.
And then...
they sing this beautiful song about when the rain falls.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. It's an acoustic song about the rain falling
and
stuff like
that. And
she's
not dancing because that's not her.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then Roscoe was watching because, of course, she is. Mm-hmm. And then at the very end, he's like, oh my gosh, Cindy, your harmonies were amazing. And then Cindy's like, I wasn't harmonizing. And then Rachel was like, I wasn't harmonizing either. And then, so we're just kind of left to believe, like, oh, Loretta was harmonizing through the power of the internet.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then they look up and they see her face. Like, her
no,
face.
Yeah. Like, they like they all look up and they're like, oh, I guess the Zetabytes have a guardian angel.
Oh,
and then I'm like, oh, word? This is guardian angel.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So it's like kind of like she's like watching over them. Yeah, and is there anything that really happens with Sam and Roscoe at the end? It's implied that they're together. They kiss again, I think. Something.
I don't know.
They're implied to be together. I guess he's forgiven. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which,
I guess.
It's a little undeserved, but it's fine.
Yes.
But yeah, that's the movie. Mm-hmm. What did you think?
What did I think?
Overall. Yes.
I was crazy about this movie as a kid.
Yeah.
I think watching it as an adult, I'm just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
This was definitely made in 2004.
Yes.
For a lot of reasons.
Yes.
What about you?
I mean, it's still, like I said, still very entertaining.
Yes.
Gives you a lot to think about. I don't think it's like this movie is totally fucked up and it's telling us, like, I think it does have a message about perfection.
Yeah.
That perfection is boring. And, like, you want to be able to, like, learn and fail and, like,
yeah.
to, you know, progress as a human. No one's perfect. And if you were, that wouldn't be, like, rewarding whatsoever. But I don't think they did it perfectly. I think it tried to have a good message. I don't think it was totally successful, but I think it... I appreciate the effort. So, I don't know. I enjoyed it. Yeah, I would say that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I guess let's, before we get into the fashion, I want to know your, what do you think of, you like the music? What were your favorite songs?
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, if I cut my hair, if I change my clothes, will you notice me? Oh my gosh.
Yes.
When I was younger, I was only allowed to listen to Radio Disney.
Oh wait, really?
So,
oh
my yeah. God, I love Radio so Disney. Yeah. I really liked that song.
Yeah. Oh wait, that's now it's bringing back glory days of when they would play like the Disney Channel songs on Radio
yeah,
Disney.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. And the whole, a dance around you like a satellite. Oh my gosh. No, it's definitely an earworm.
Yes.
Love that. Definitely reminiscent of all the girl bands that were really popular during that time.
Yeah.
It also gave me, like... From Freaky Friday, the remake.
Oh,
Pink
oh,
Slip.
Oh, wait, they were on Pink Slip?
No, Pink Slip was the name of the band.
Oh, wait, the ones so, that...
On and on. On and on. Yeah. And you're red. You're the ultimate. It's automatic, I'm sure of it. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, so like...
Oh, my God, I can't believe they're called Pink Slip. That's very cute. Anyway,
yes.
Continue.
Yes. But... I don't know. The music was just, like, so freaking catchy.
It was. That's,
yeah.
I loved it. And, like, it's, like, relatable.
Oh, it's totally relatable. Yeah. Like, absolutely. That yeah. I think, like, my favorite songs were definitely the more upbeat ones.
Yeah.
I also noticed something, too. Baby me, especially as, like, someone who loved to, like, dance and move,
yeah.
saw Loretta and thought she was absolutely killing it.
Okay, I was gonna ask you, even back then I was like, why is she doing, like, a flip off of Stool?
Yeah,
her dance moves are embarrassing. Okay,
I know.
What do you think? Yeah.
Back then I thought she was killing it. I'm just like, oh my gosh, she has so much energy. Like, no one, and, like, I see that, and then I see the people cheering,
yeah.
and then I'm like, okay, she does that, people cheer. Okay, this is good.
Yeah.
This is good. She's doing well. But then I looked at it, and, like, literally during one of the most emotional songs in the movie,
yeah.
she's literally shaking her hips and, like, rolling on the ground.
Oh, my God.
And super, like, cheesy pantomiming the lyrics. And then I'm
yeah,
like...
Yeah, it's all about the pantomime.
It's
yeah.
all about the pantomimes.
Mm-hmm.
She literally, during her audition, when she's singing Nothing's Wrong With Me, she's literally on the floor opening her legs. And I'm just like, wow, this doesn't match the song at all, but people are
no.
eating it up.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely. Younger me thought she was killing it.
Yeah.
Older me is just like, hey, girl.
Okay, I will say, I love, my favorite song is Notice Me, and I love the Sam, like, acoustic guitar
yes.
version. I want the whole song done that way. I you know, I understand it's got to be up-tempo, but, like, that was so beautiful.
Yes.
And Ernest, and she's, like, looking at Roscoe.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Yes, and it's giving the same vibes as the two What I've Been Looking For from High School
oh
Musical.
Oh, my God, you're so right.
There's the Sharpay upbeat, dancey version.
Yeah.
That's, like, the Loretta version.
Mm-hmm.
And then the stripped-down, like, acoustic version. Version is
Between
the original Kelsey version.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I didn't even think about that. You're totally right. Yes.
There we go.
Oh
cross comparisons.
Yeah, this is why I bring you here.
Yes.
Fashion.
Yes.
What did you think of the fashion?
Ooh, oh my God. The fashion was very 2004. Oh my gosh. So I caught a little bit of context. Like, I went to mm-hmm. Catholic school for 9 years.
I was going to ask, yeah.
Yeah, so we wore, like, uniforms all the time.
Yeah.
Well,
did you guys have, like, free day ever or not really?
Sometimes, yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes we would have free dress day.
Mm-hmm.
And for free dress day, I would always, like, go to Limited 2.
And,
like, that...
Oh, my God.
That, type of fashion,
yeah.
like in Pixel Perfect, was very Limited too.
Oh yeah, oh yeah,
absolutely.
A lot of like one shoulder is different than the other
yes,
shoulder.
Yes,
yes.
Sam has this look of these like khaki cargo pants
yeah.
and a white tank top with a black tank top layered over it,
yes,
and
yes.
the black tank top has like this very like. Super rocker, like almost gaudy, like Ed Hardy type
yeah,
thing.
That's right.
And I'm just
yeah.
like, dude. I would wear that today.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
Honestly, I think of all the characters in the movie, yeah. I really gravitated towards her fashion the most.
I liked hers because it was like, it's like a smidge Avril Lavigne, a smidge like Mia Thermopolis. Like, she's like understated. Like, she always has straight hair. She's not like glammed up.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, there's, okay, Loretta's fashion was very Star Trek, very, like...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, like, fashionable Star Trek. Like, there's one part where she's wearing, like, a golf, like, polo shirt to go perform on stage. Like, it's a little, like... it was a little off to
me. Yeah, I'm just like, Roscoe, come on. You could literally put her in anything. Yeah. And, like, that's what you put her in.
Yes. It... I mean, she wore, like, a lot of matching sets. Like, yes. Like, very, like... Not athleisure. It's like kind of like yoga retreat leader. You know what
that's,
I mean? Yeah.
That's so spot on.
Yeah. Honestly. Shaman. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, and it made like her. She wore like a lot of solid color too.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I think that really kind of set her apart. Of like they even though she was supposed to blend in, quote unquote. She really didn't.
Yeah.
Because.
Like, you could tell there's something about this girl. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Disney Channel fashion, one, is very distinct.
Oh, yeah.
And, like,
oh, yeah.
As somebody,
so colorful. Yeah.
So colorful. Everything is layered.
Yeah. Oh, so many layers. Even if you live in California, you're wearing 17 tank tops. Yes.
Yes. And you wear jeans under your skirt for some reason.
Which I'm actually a big fan of that.
Yeah? Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
It reminds me of, like, Juno and Ashley Tisdale.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, my God. The Ashley Tisdale outfit. Sorry.
Yeah,
I just
no. You all know what I'm talking about. Yes.
Yes. But, like, you know, somebody who, like, went to California. School I literally would like watch shows like watch Disney Channel shows and I would watch like Degrassi and stuff and I like got issues of Teen Vogue and 17 magazine to figure out like how public school people dressed
because you wanted to fit in
because I wanted to fit in and I just ended up looking really weird like
really?
I didn't belong there and because like or I was putting in more effort than I had to. Because I would just walk in and people were literally wearing t-shirts and leggings to school.
Yeah.
Like.
Were you like, wait, why is everyone so dressed down?
No, yeah. I mean, like, some, there are some days where I would, like, kind of feel myself and I would, like, wear an outfit. Oh, my God, Jana. I had one of my favorite outfits to wear. It came as, like, a two-piece set.
I can't wait.
So it was, like, a purple scoop neck t-shirt.
Wait, what shade of purple?
It was, like.
You're wearing a lot of purple or any of the purple.
It wasn't
t-shirt.
Like a deep purple. It was, I think it was like Gengar purple.
Okay, Gengar. Look up a picture of Gengar if you
don't
know what
it's we're
talking
about. Gengar purple tank or shirt.
Yes.
With like a big obnoxious lace rectangle down the front.
Ooh.
Like a lace rectangle.
Like a panel.
Like a panel
guess,
of
like
lace.
If you weren't wearing anything under it, you can see like. Okay,
no.
Not like that. Okay.
Not like that. It was like a regular t-shirt with lace on, with a thing of lace on top.
Yes.
And I had one of those, like, I don't know what they're called. It was a vest. It came with a vest.
Oh, my God.
But not, like, a suit vest.
Yes.
It was one of those vests that hung down. It was, like, a super drapey piece of fabric.
Like, it's a sweatery. Oh, wait, no. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's, like, a draped, like, see-through.
A draped see-through vest. And in the back, it was held together by, like, a wooden circle ring.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. How, like, 2000, how late 2000s was that? It was so...
No, that's definitely something, like, London or Maddie wore on Sweet Life,
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, like, that and literally a pair of ballet flats and some skinny jeans.
Yeah.
That was the look.
Ballet flats and skinny jeans. I wonder if that will ever come back.
I also, as a Gen Z millennial cuss, I'll look at Gen Z people, and they literally dress like they walked out of Limited 2 now.
Yeah.
Like, haven't you noticed that, too?
Yeah. It's crazy how much they look like a cartoon character from, like, the year 2000.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Which I'm all for. It's like, I wish Limited 2 came back. I'd shop there. I don't have any
shame. Honestly, as a grown-ass woman, I would shop at Limited 2.
I love that store. Yeah, so you dress really cute. Would you say you have, like, a
Thank
fun
you.
Relationship with fashion? Like, how are you guys?
Yeah, so, honestly, like I've mentioned before, I used to have a kind of a weird relationship with fashion where it's like, oh, well, I have to, I need to dress like this in order to be, like, accepted. Mm-hmm. And I think I've also used fashion to, like, really stand out. Like, I remember middle school and high school me was a huge, even now, was a huge fan of, like, of the graphic tee.
Yeah, you are very graphic tee.
Yes, you know this. I love graphic tees.
Yeah.
And it was a really great way to, like, express who I was and who mm-hmm. I was into and, like, also start a lot of conversations.
Yeah. Fashion is a conversation starter, first mm-hmm. and foremost, I think. I think that's one of the best things about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think, like, especially as I've gotten older, fashion has also been, like, a really affirming means of expression as a queer person, too. Yeah. So I identify, like, as somewhere... somewhere in between in the gender binary. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily have a label for it. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that resonate with me, like, on the masculine side. There's also a lot of things that resonate with me in terms of femininity.
Yeah.
I think everybody kind of has innate masculinity and femininity that is very fluid, and, like, you can take a little bit from each energy, like, whatever feels affirming to you. And, like, fashion has been a really great way for me to explore what masculinity and femininity can look like and feel like in an affirming way for me.
Yeah.
With drag, too, it's become, like, a playground of sorts where I can create a character that's my own and use clothing to do that.
Yeah.
It's also kind of helped me be creative, too, because, like, I'm definitely balling on a budget, if you know what I mean.
But I wouldn't be able to tell because you do it so well.
You're such a sweetheart. Thank you so much. In a lot of ways, fashion and drag have helped me get in touch with my inner child because, again, like, a lot of the drag that I do is very nostalgic. Like, mm-hmm. I've even done, like, a number to Burning Up by the Jonas Brothers. And
Oh my God, are you serious?
And then I have, like, literal fire pants.
Yeah,
like, the pants are, like, have literal flames on them, and...
Oh my God.
Yeah, like...
Wait, this is crazy. I don't think I've ever seen it. I never thought I would see a drag performance to a Jonas Brothers song. This is, wow.
Yeah.
You're changing lives.
Thank you. Thank you. At the beginning of the episode, we were talking a lot about, like, how we knew each other and how we got to know each other. And part of the reason why I think we've connected so well is because we have, like, very similar outlooks on life, and we're very, we're both, like, very multifaceted human beings where it's, like, we don't have a full-time gig because our full-time gig is being multidisciplined. And look, like, you literally have brought together, like, so many amazing and, like, fun people to this podcast, too.
Oh my God,
like, to talk about things that they're passionate about, to, like, relate these, like, nostalgic decoms to, like, their daily life. And I'm just really grateful that I got to be a part of that, too.
I'm so glad that you did. I've been wanting you to do it. And, like, I knew it the day I met you.
thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you. So, before we end, is there any, do you want to plug your social medias?
Of course.
Any events coming up in your life?
No, of course. Yeah, this would be, thank you. So, I have two Instagram accounts. Mm-hmm. There's my personal account. It's Dork Magician Girl on Instagram. It's a Yu-Gi-Oh reference. I'm a gigantic nerd. I post a lot of my dance content on there, a lot of stuff going on with my personal life. If you want to follow my drag adventures, my drag king name is Sam Pagita. So that's MX Sam Pagita, PAGUITA. So you can know if I'm going to be performing at a show near you.
Yeah. Go. It's amazing. Truly.
Yes. And one more thing, too, is, like, I'm so grateful that I got to be a Decom Diva for today. I have a podcast that I do with one of my friends called Fandom Femmes. Yes. We've been on hiatus for a minute, but we are working on getting back going. So if you want to check us out, wherever you listen to podcasts, we're Fandom Femmes. That's FEMMES. We're on Instagram under that name, too. So please follow that if you want to be on the lookout for when we drop our next episode.
Yes. Link below and all of this.
Yes.
I'm very excited. So are there any positive messages you want to send out to this world that can be as, like, meaningful or as stupid as you want?
So... Wow, putting me on the spot.
Sorry.
No worries.
Like I said, it doesn't have to be super profound.
Yeah.
Unless you want it to be.
I think kind of in the theme of what we've been talking about today is, you know, it's always good to aspire to better yourself, to aspire to improve. I think I'm saying this to you, saying this to anybody listening, also saying this to myself. But it's great to aspire to be a better person, to hone your craft. And it's also important to remember why you do the things you do. You know, are you doing it for passion? Is this your source of income? What's your why behind doing that? And hold that why really close. Because if you aspire for things like perfection, that aren't real, I think it'll get you further and further away from the reason you started. I tried to weave in a pixel perfect pun in there, but I just couldn't do it. Okay, so I'm just going to leave it there and let it settle.
Yeah, it's okay. We got puns taken care of. yeah, so thank you guys for listening. Thank you so much for being on. I had so much fun.
Yes.
I love having you. And
wait, can we try something kind of corny?
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah, of course.
Anything. So there's no video component to this podcast, yeah. But you just imagine it at home.
Yeah.
So I'm Justine.
And I'm Jana.
And you're listening to Decom Divas. Divas. Dun, 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 dun.